We're in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 23 tonight, and we'd like to look at the last few verses. Finish this chapter, and we'll get into chapter 24, and I didn't look at this today, but I believe there's another timestamp. Yes, there's another, a new timestamp given in verse 1 of chapter 24, and so we'll be getting on in this getting closer to the destruction of Jerusalem. And we are, let's see, we're nearly halfway through the book. There are 48 chapters, if I recall correctly, and we're in chapter 23. So, just about halfway through the book. We're in chapter 23, and we're going to look tonight, the plan is to look at verses 36 through 49. Kind of part two of Aholah and Aholibah. And we looked last time at what those terms meant, the last couple times. The tent, my tent, exists in her. I believe it was, is what Aholibah means. And Aholah, talking about that tent, the tent of her. So we saw in this chapter, the Lord uses, again, a parable or a likeness of these two individuals, and he likens them that one is Samaria and the other is Jerusalem, referencing the northern kingdoms and the southern kingdoms and how they played the harlot, even from their youth in Egypt, and then how how Israel did with the Assyrians and how the Lord judged them. And then you have Jerusalem doing the same thing and even going beyond her sister. And after that, the Lord told them what he would do because of their whoredoms. And we're in verse 36 here. And the Lord makes a command or gives a command to Ezekiel and says, the Lord said, moreover unto me, son of man, wilt thou judge Aholah and the holy Ba? Yea, declare unto them their abominations. So he commands them. He says, will you judge? Will you judge? And then he says, cause to declare or to make prominent to them their abominations. And this principle of exposing the sins of the wicked, not just exposing their sins, but exposing their sins to them. That's, we've seen that before in Ezekiel. I think it's in Ezekiel 20 verse 4. It says, wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And so they need to know their errors before they can get right. If you think you're okay, you don't need medicine. And so very important. But I think it's important for us as well to be able to not necessarily going around just saying, oh, you're a rotten sinner and you're going to hell and in that spirit. But people need to know the problem. People need to know this is wrong. So many things. Abortion is wrong. This so-called gay marriage, sodomy, is wrong. But not just those things, but even beyond those things. We are to reprove the works of darkness. And so that principle's throughout scripture. And he's telling Ezekiel, you judge. You cause them to know their abominations. And then he lists them here. In verses 37 through 39, he says that they have committed adultery and blood is in their hands. And with their idols have they committed adultery. And that they have and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. So in these verses, it's a little more, it's not so much parabolic. He says they've committed adultery. No doubt spiritually, we would say spiritual adultery, yes. But literally as well, it says there's blood in their hands. Figuratively, yes, but actually, yes. Their idols, they commit adultery. So there's that more what we would call spiritual adultery with the Lord. They're committing adultery with these idols by worshiping them. He talks about their sons, which they begot to him, to the Lord, Yahya. They caused to pass through to them. And then he says here, to devour them. Devour. The word devour, or to consume, it also can be the idea of to eat something, or to be like food. The children were like food for these idols, in a sense, to consume in the fire. Passing their children through Molech. It doesn't say Molech here, but it's interesting. You can look at, the Lord spoke about all of these things that happened in Israel. All of these things the Lord spoke about in what we call the Pentateuch. In the first five books, he talked about this. He talked about the possibility of all this happening, and if this were to happen, what would happen after that, and how they could keep from doing these things. The Lord laid everything out, so they were not ignorant. Only by choice were they ignorant, because the information was there. The Lord had given them what they needed. And wow, isn't it? God's people, even today, they're only ignorant by choice, because we've been given everything. It's amazing. People just don't care. They don't care about the truth. They don't value it. We saw in 1 Peter, but to us, he is precious, right? It's precious, the value. We see the value. At least I hope you do. Hope you come for the value, not because, well, we just go to church because that's what we're supposed to do. Hope you see the value, because this is the value. Whether many people see it or not doesn't make it valuable. It's valuable because it expresses who God is. And I hope you see that. And if you don't, we've got to cultivate that so we can see the value is in the scriptures, because it reveals God, who he is. As he said, so here he's enumerating their sins. This is what Ezekiel is causing them to know, their abominations. Cause their sons to pass through the fire. Now, sometimes people will make a big distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament in many ways. One of those ways is, well, God judged the people for these external things. But in the New Testament, see, the Lord is really not concerned about that. It's really about the heart. So there's a difference. Heart, New Testament, Old Testament is just externals. That's a lie. That's not true. These are externals. It's true. But obviously, externals, they portray what? The internals. Jesus said, for out of the heart come all of these things. But there's something to be said. There's something to be said about the internals, and it's said in Scripture, not just in the New Testament, by the way. But please don't confuse this point here. Just because he's dealing with these external behaviors, it doesn't mean that the Lord is not concerned about the heart. The Lord knows very well their heart is the reason why these external behaviors exist. But it's not that the God of the Old Testament only cared about externals, and that the God of the New Testament cared about the internals. No, the Lord has not changed. You remember David? David knew this. What did he say? We just read it Sunday in 1 Chronicles 29, 16 through 17 says, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine own, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart have I willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. There are so many places you could go. Psalm 51, he says he doesn't delight in these sacrifices. He delights in a broken, contrite heart. Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draweth near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by precept of men. God has not changed. He is the same God of the Old Testament as he is of the New Testament. And so that's important to remember. And I know we know that, but there are people out there that need to hear it, and we need to help them, show it that he's the same God. He has not changed. He has not changed. Again, these externals, they clearly show what is in their heart. But he's dealing with the externals as a judge. A judge does not come here and judge after your heart necessarily. They try and determine motive to degree, perhaps, but if you've murdered or killed someone, you'll still have to pay the fine. Beyond this, it says, let's see, in verse 40, and furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from afar unto, let me back up, verse 38. Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. So again, he's still enumerating these things. It's beyond this. They did to me, okay, this is all against the Lord. They intensely defiled my holy place in the same day. And my Sabbaths they intensely polluted. And they, and in their slaughtering their sons to their idols, and in their slaughtering to their sons to their idols, then they went unto my holy place in the same day to intensely polluting of it. Okay, so all of this is, they're doing all of this wickedness, and then they come to God's house. They come to his holy place, the sanctuary, and they've mingled the things of Yihyah with their idolatry and their gross immorality. They mingle it all together, and it's a sneaky thing, but that happens even in America and, well, across the world, but it happens in churches where they allow, well, Jude talked about it, and that was 2,000 years ago, how they are changing, they're replacing the grace of God for lasciviousness. And what they're doing is the same thing. It's committing spiritual adultery. It's now we're going to worship these other things, but we're going to do it and bring it into the sanctuary to pollute that as well. By the way, when we think of the sanctuary, I hope you, please don't think of this as God's house, because that's not what the scripture says. This building's not God's house. What's God's house? You are. I am. Okay. And if we're going to think accurately, we need to say it accurately and think it accurately. This isn't God's house. This is a building, and we're glad to have it. But ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Search the scriptures. See if that is so. You'll find it is so. It is so. We don't have a temple today except for our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are God's house. So he says here, they've committed all these things, and now they mingle their idolatry with his sanctuary. They just pollute the land and then also his sanctuary. And it says, and behold, thus they did in the midst of my house. In verses 40 to 44, the analogy, if you will, is continued. And you see where he says in verse 40, and furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent. And lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, paintest thine eyes, and deckest thyself with ornaments, and sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. And a voice of a multitude being at ease was with her, and with the men of the common sort were brought Sabaeans from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon their hands and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Then said I unto her that was old in adulteries, will they now commit whoredoms with her? And she with them. So the analogy is continued. So because you are sending to men coming from afar, and we've already seen that, it happened. Which messenger? A messenger was sent unto them, and behold, they came. And then it's to whom you washed, you painted your eyes, you sat upon a bed or this couch. It's not just any couch. It's the kavodah, this glorious couch. It says stately bed. And a table existed being set before it, before this bed. And my incense, his incense, smoke, that which was only for him, and my fat, remember, all the fat is the Lord's, to be burned to the Lord, he says, you made unto it. So, again, all the things of the Lord, that which is only for the Lord given to others, that's the same thing that happens in a marriage, that's adultery when you give that which is only for your spouse to someone else, that's adultery. Whatever you give to another that's only for the Lord, that's adultery. That's adultery. That could be trusting in anything above the Lord. You're not trusting the Lord, you're trusting in this. That's the same idea. And then he talks about this voice in verse 42, and a voice of a multitude being at ease with her, which is interesting. It's a voice of like a careless multitude existed in her. And unto men from many of mankind, the idea of that being common people existed, being brought. And then it has this Sabaeans, I guess folks that were living in the desert. That word there for Sabaeans is the idea of guzzling. People guzzling down, like a drunk, for instance. They're guzzlers, guzzling down things. If you were to use the descriptive term, it would be like guzzling ones from the wilderness. Then they gave bracelets under their hands and a crown of beauty upon their heads. And then I will say to the one worn out, the idea of worn out of adulteries. That's what you see in verse 43. And I said unto her that was old in adulteries. She had done this from very young, but now she's old in adulteries. Worn out, in a sense. That's the idea of that word. And there's that question. He asks, will they now commit whoredoms with her and she with them? And I believe the understanding is, you lived your life and now nobody wants you anymore. Verse 44 says, yet they went in unto her as they go in unto a woman that playeth the harlot. So went they in unto Aholah and unto Aholibah, the lewd women. The word lewd is the idea of device or plan, which is interesting. Women of device. It's almost like a euphemism in a sense, but it also is descriptive because the word here is an idea of this is their plan, the way they think, the way they devise. It's women of device. This is what they do. This wicked device is understood. This lewdness. So they came. So this is all the abominations. And he came back and he started talking about the parable again, in that sense. Verses 45 through 47, it's going to talk about righteous men. Righteous individuals will judge them. Verse 45 says, and the righteous men, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses and after the manner of women that shed blood, because they are adulteresses and blood is in their hands. For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company upon them and will give them to be removed and spoiled. And the company shall stone them with stones and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters and burn up their houses with fire. So the righteous, they're going to judge them. And righteous men, they will judge them. It's so emphatic there. They will judge them. The judgment of the ones committing adultery and the judgment of the ones pouring out of blood. Because they exist committing adultery and blood exists in their hands. So that makes sense, right? They're going to judge them as these who commit adultery, as these who shed blood. Why? Because they commit adultery and they shed blood. So these righteous men are going to judge righteously. They're going to perform that which is just. And that agrees with righteousness. The Lord says, you will be judged according to your deeds, your works. And he says this, verse 47, what we just read, and the company shall stone them with stones and dispatch them with their swords. So, because thus saith, or said the Lord, Yahweh, causing to take up upon them an assembly, and giving of them to terror and to spoiling, then they will stone upon them a stone, an assembly, meaning the assembly will do this. And this idea of dispatching is the word to create something or to shape. Quite literally, we might say, and shaping them by their sword. And their houses in the fire they will burn. So this is what the Lord will do. It's interesting how righteous men will do this. In verses 48 through 49, the Lord is going to cause to cease this lewdness. He says in 48, thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to do after their lewdness. And they shall recompense your lewdness upon you, and ye shall bear the sins of your idols, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. So then I will cause to cease lewdness or device from the land. Then the entirety of women will, it says here, they may be taught not to do after your lewdness. The word taught there is the same word used so often in the Proverbs. It's translated instruction. It's the idea of restraint. The entirety of women will restrain themselves and not, they will do as your device, as your lewdness. Again, this shows us a principle that's debated in politics, but when you execute judgment, it does offer deterrence. If there is righteousness, if people do wrong and they're properly judged for that wrong, it will deter other people from doing wrong. It's a biblical, it's a principle of God. And so when people see that they will not be punished, on the other hand, they're going to go ahead. They're going to go ahead. And also, he said he would cause this to cease. But I wonder, has it ceased? Has it ceased? Has it been fixed? Maybe in a sense, when the judgment came upon them, perhaps in a sense, but I mean, you read when they came back in Ezra and Nehemiah and Haggai and Zechariah, you read about them and what was going on then. It wasn't very good either. And you read about Malachi and you read about, the Gospels and after the Gospels, and go look at them today. But the Lord says it will cease. And as you read prophecy, you go to, I think it's Revelation chapter 8, I think, is where it talks about how they're going to return. The Lord will redeem Israel, and they will turn to the Lord as a nation, not necessarily every individual. Those who don't will be judged like everyone else, but they will return. He will cause it to cease, and he will establish a kingdom with them, and they will be holiness unto the Lord, as Zechariah says. It will be fulfilled. It will be ceased, and they will give. Then they will give your device, your lewdness, upon you. The sins of your idols you will lift up. What does that mean? It means you're going to bear the iniquity. You're going to bear the iniquity, just like he said last week in the previous verses, that they would do that. They would carry their sins. And that is the case for all men. Now, we know no one has to. He says he will bear our burdens. He'll take the sin load if we want, if we'll submit to the Lord, turn to righteousness, trust in him. But those who don't, they will bear their iniquity. He says in the last phrase here, he says, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Then you will know because I exist the Lord Yahya. So they will bear their sins. They will know that he exists, Yahya. It's interesting. People already know that. They do. But Romans 1, this kind of know is they will experientially know, I believe. It's that idea of they will take heed. But people already know it. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge, though. I was doing just it's such a deep study. But I was looking into particle physics a little bit because it's interesting. Back in 2012, they discovered the last thing for their standard model called the Higgs boson. And so I was listening to incredibly smart people. They know a lot about things. And he's talking all about this Higgs boson. And it's supposed to be some of the most there's nothing smaller than these particles. They found the smallest things. These are the things that make up electrons and everything else, and these gluons that connect quarks and all these things that make up atoms, okay? Things that make up the atoms. But it's interesting. So they talk about it. And the Higgs boson, it's nicknamed the God particle. And they talk about it, but they make it very clear it has nothing to do with God, and it's a really bad name. They don't like to talk about God, the God particle. And at the end of his thing, he says, what are the conclusions that we can know about this Higgs boson? And he listed several things. One of them was there's no life after death. We know this because, you know, we've discovered the smallest thing here. And so they hate it. They don't like to say there's a God. They say, we found it all out. It's interesting. You do a little more study. They don't know that much. They really don't. They say, we've discovered all this, and this is how we found out. But they don't know that much, really. It's not as much as it might look on the surface. And yet they think, there's no God, there's nothing else out there. But they will know, because he exists, Yahya. They will know. Everyone will know. Every knee will bow. And so we want to, as we've been studying even in the New Testament passages, we want to show to these people, these nations, the Lord, so that they will glorify the Lord in the day of visitation, 1 Peter says, chapter 2. Okay, so we finished chapter 23. Any questions or comments anyone has about anything that we've been looking at? It's okay if you don't have anything. There are hard books in the Bible, but there are no unimportant books. There are hard verses, but there's no unimportant verses. And because it's the revelation of God. It's not that, well, just the New Testament is the revelation, or it's more of the revelation, or it's better, or somehow more special. You got to take the whole thing. He gave us the whole thing. So we're studying through it, and Lord willing, we'll get through the end before we're all old and gray-headed and bent over in nursing homes. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that we can study your word. And I pray that you'd help us as we, sometimes it's not very fun to think about these things, just how people are wicked and they need judgment. And I'd like to think about positive things, Lord, about people doing right and you doing great things that are encouraging. But you and your wisdom have given us this, and we thank you for it. Help us to understand you, know you, as you've revealed yourself, to understand your righteousness and your holiness, to understand that you have not changed, and you've already declared these things of old for them, but also of old for us. And I pray you'd help us to be able to skillfully communicate this to others as you give us opportunities. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.